what we hope to get from them is where the challenges are, where the vets are having their challenges with the VA, and then also what's good about the VA. I mean, what's working? What should we leave alone? What should we not touch? And the one last week was very informative, as they all are, in that the veteran said, you know, we've got to do a better job of recruitment of healthcare folks, whether those are doctors, nurses, or administrative folks, because we need more of them. And then there were some other issues that came up about timely payments to outside folks, like if they went to a doctor, for example, and maybe had a knee replacement or something like that, the payment to those hospitals and those docs was lagging. And those are just two things that came up. But we were there for about 45 minutes or an hour and listened to the vets, and then had a nice visit before and after that with some of them individually. And then my staff stayed around for another hour after that to get the folks who were shy and didn't want to speak in front of everybody. And so we got a good cross-section, I think, of information. I think as we build on each one of these as we go around the state and have them repeatedly, I think we're going to end up with some good information that we can help make the VA even better from a policy standpoint in Washington, D.C. Now, all that being said, Ed, this next week we're going to be working on a VA bill in conference committee that I think is going to move the VA forward, but I don't think that should be the end of the situation. I think we need to continue to get that bill passed and then work on things to improve the VA even more.
Sounds like it's going to be a long haul regardless.
No, it is, and it's going to cost some money. I mean, I think this bill that we passed out of the Senate that's going to conference is about $35 billion. That's real money. Healthcare is expensive. And for the folks who served in the military that have earned this health care, we owe it to them. And it's a cost of war that needs to be factored in every time we deploy folks. And oftentimes it never is.
Speaking of war, Iraq seems to be crumbling, falling to pieces. You were quoted this week as saying, get our troops home, get our people out of there. They've been fighting for 2,000 years. We are going to stop them.
That's pretty close to what I said, and that's the way I feel. Unless we want to make a commitment to Iraq like we have to Korea, which I don't think we can afford, I think that we can settle it down. We showed it. I mean, the troops went in there. They settled the country down, and it was peaceful for a while. And the minute we remove, they go right back to fighting again. And I think that we can send troops in. I heard the president's going to send 300 advisors now. And we can send troops in, and we can do airstrikes, and we can do all that stuff. But I believe that once we pull out, it'll go right back to what it was before. And so Maliki had a great chance. The president of Iraq had a great chance to build the kind of coalitions that he needed to do to stand this country up, and he refused to do it. And so you go right back to what it was before we got there with violence. I just think that when we're talking about $17 trillion in debt, which is what this country is, a lot of folks back in Washington, D.C., and a lot of the fiscal hawks never talk about the cost of war. And we put it on a credit card, and it's just a crazy way of doing business. And I think there's a monetary cost and there's a people cost. The reason we're talking about the VA is because we've got folks coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that have serious, serious injuries, and we need to help them. So I just don't see the sense of putting a bunch more money into Iraq when I think when we pull out again, it'll go back to the same old thing because they've been doing it for centuries.
So all those lives, all those limbs, all that treasure, we just cede it to the likes of ISIS?
Oh, no. I don't see it that way at all. I think the soldiers went in, and it's true we went in under false pretenses, but I will tell you the soldiers went in, they helped stabilize that country and gave them a chance to have a peaceful country, and they've chosen not to do that, and there's not much we can do about that. But the truth is that those soldiers did a great job. I don't think there's any sacrifice in vain there at all. We did our best job to try to help straighten things out, and it didn't work out, and that's just the way it is. I don't think we should continue down the line because history will repeat itself as it has done in the past.
It could end up affecting gas prices back here at home, though.
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, but really the bottom line is that we need to continue on developing energy sources across the board, renewable, conventional, all the above, and this just shows you why we need to continue to do that. We cannot take our foot off the gas feed just because we got some oil coming out of the ground in the Bakken. We need to continue to do everything we can do for conservation and developing energy sources to broaden the portfolio so that energy does remain affordable.
Gallup finds Americans' confidence in Congress has hit a historic low. 7% now of Americans saying they have quite a lot of confidence. Boy, what's that tell you?
Well, it tells me that I want to find the 7% because I wouldn't be a part of it. I think it's very frustrating right now. I think it has a lot to do with our election system and the amount of money that's put into these campaigns and how long they are and how hostile the campaigns are. And then you go back, that kind of continues on through into Congress. And it is very political there right now. Politics always trumps policy, it seems like to me. And I think it's very unfortunate because there's a lot of issues out there, whether it's Iraq or whether it's a highway bill or whether it's redoing infrastructure for sewer and water with an energy and water bill that we didn't take up this week. There's just a lot of things that need to be done that we're not doing because politics is getting in the road of our work. So I'm part of the 93% that says it's dysfunctional.
Last question. Former Governor Schweitzer this week made some headlines with his comments about Mr. Cantor setting off his gaydar, Senator Feinstein comparing her to a hooker. He's apologized, but what did he do to himself and his political future, do you think?
Well, I don't think he helped his value much with that stuff. I don't know why he did what he did, because he's a smart guy, maybe the best on-the-ground politician I've ever seen. But I think it was a big mistake, and I think he's realized that now. And look, Brian did a great job for the state, but I guess everybody does silly stuff once in a while, and he just did it.
Montana Senior Senator Democrat John Tester, thank you so much, sir.
You bet.